The main Shiite alliance in Iraq met today to figure out its strategy in the new National Assembly. The Shiites won 48% of the votes cast in last month's election, more than any other group, but far short of the absolute majority they'd been expecting. A union of two Kurdish groups came in second with 25% of the vote. Those results, with no one group having a clear majority, will likely mean a weak central government, and also will mean compromise, alliances, and deal-making. For more on where the Iraqi National Assembly goes from here, we're joined by Nathan Brown of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He's written about the constitutional process in Iraq. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Let's start with the nuts and bolts of this assembly. 275 members. When do they start meeting, and what's their first order of business?
Well, they'll start meeting as soon as the election results are certified, and that should be within the next few days. And so they'll meet soon after that. Their first order of business will be probably to elect a speaker and to adopt a set of internal rules and operating procedures. And then they'll have to go on and elect a presidency council.
And that's a president and two deputies, is that right?
Exactly. The two deputies and president have to agree on everything, so it's really a three-person presidency council, although one person will have the formal title of president.
And this seems like where it might get a little tricky. You need two-thirds of the vote to get elected to one of those presidencies. There isn't one alliance. There's no one party that has two-thirds of the votes in the assembly.
That's right, and they have to elect all three on the same ticket, so they'll have to bargain about not simply one name at a time, but all three at the same time.
That presidency council will ultimately pick the prime minister and the cabinet?
Yes. They'll select the prime minister, and the prime minister will form a cabinet for their approval and then present it back to the National Assembly.
Which of those seats has the power? Is the presidency largely ceremonial, and it's the prime minister who will be effectively running the government?
Well, in any political system, these things get worked out in practice, and there's been very little practice so far. What it looks like on paper is that the presidency council, because it has to act unanimously, will be a fairly cumbersome structure. So I suspect the prime minister and the cabinet will be having most of the power on a day-to-day basis.
The National Assembly also has to come up with a constitution for the country, and they don't have much time to do it.
That's right. They're supposed to come up with a constitution by August 15th to give 2 months for national discussion before they voted on October 15th.
After this National Assembly does its work, is the essential structure of the government with this presidency council, the prime minister, will that remain the same?
That's really for the National Assembly itself to determine. They can write any constitution they want. There's almost no barrier that's been placed on them to the content of the final document. I think they might take some of the current structures as a starting point for constitutional design and so on, but they're not obligated to do so.
What happens to this National Assembly after this period of constitution-making is over? What happens to the body itself?
Well, if they succeed and write a constitution, then a constitution is put forward for a ratification, and if it's ratified, new elections are held. If they fail, that is, if they miss the deadline, then they're also dissolved, and a new National Assembly is elected and starts the process all over again.
And what about U.S. role in Iraq? How would that be determined by anything that this National Assembly or the new government puts into place?
On an informal level, of course, the United States is going to be following very, very closely what's going on in the writing of the Constitution. Our leverage is much less than it was a year ago because we're no longer formally in occupying power. But I will say that there's also one big question which the National Assembly might have to address, and that is a security relationship with the United States. Right now, that's based on a UN Security Council resolution plus a lot of legal enactments that the Americans put out when they were occupying the country. Those have not been superseded. If the Iraqi government wishes, it could try to negotiate an agreement, but if it does so, it will have to present it to the National Assembly. That may be a headache, a big political headache that the new Iraqi government will not want to face, but if they do, the National Assembly will have to take some kind of action.
And when you say a new agreement, what kind of agreement might that be?
Well, that could be anything, but one thing that is on the table, perhaps, would be a status of forces agreement. That is some kind of bilateral agreement between Iraq and the United States that governs what American troops can and cannot do in their sort of legal and their legal status within the country.
Nathan Brown is a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace here in Washington. Thanks very much.
Thank you.